ready.
Bases loaded, Bulls wanting to add on with two outs in the bottom of the eighth.
Aim.
Oh, man, he corks that ball deep to right field.
Bullseye.
The track, and it gets over the wall! A grand slam!
This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
And that one clears the fence. The Bulls do go back-to-back.
We'll talk with head coach Billy Moe.
They've been playing hard. They've been swinging the bats well.
Catch up with one of the players and get you up to speed with all things USF Athletics.
Guess you can't ask for much better than that.
Now, your Bullseye hosts, Jim Lauk, Kaylee Cottrell, and Derek Sharp.
And with our next-to-last show, I know, just setting the emotional spectrum right now. Try not to get all fired up just yet. We have plenty more to go, obviously, today on Bullseye. We're going to focus on baseball and golf and some other great stuff that we'll get to in just a second. I'm Derek Sharp. Over there is Jim Lauk. In the middle is Kaylee Cottrell. And it's not just because we're all headed way away from Florida. Real briefly, next week we may or may not get you, because where are you headed? Off to hit the slopes?
Colorado again.
Love it.
He loves hitting the weather. I know you're going to another exotic location.
Scotland. Yeah, last week of the regular season, headed to Scotland for a week. Yeah.
Are you going to be able to keep your focus? Because that sounds like it might be fun.
It'll be nice to take a week and, you know, have a little getaway, and then I'm back and I'll be locked in.
Okay, good. And we'll all be locked in. Actually, the last week of the baseball season, I will be in Yellowstone, and I will gladly take tips, including how to avoid getting, you know, encountered too closely by wildlife. So that's to worry about in a couple weeks. Next week will be our last show. We'll focus with Ken Erickson in softball. We'll also talk with the women's golf team, because they are headed to the NCAA tournament. So are the men. After they were going anyway, but you were there.
Yeah.
They went ahead. There was no question, I've learned, that they were going to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But why not just go ahead and win a title while you're at it and do it in blowout fashion?
That weekend was truly outstanding. You know, watching Jake walk up to that last tee box on the 18th hole, I got the chills, honestly.
Oh,
like,
awesome.
The course was immaculate, and for him to play the way he did on a course like that, it was just unreal golf. It was a treat to watch, truly.
I was calling baseball. We'll get more into them with Billy Moll and Bobby Bozer in just a little bit, so I didn't get to actually see it. I was at the women's golf tournament, the AAC, over in Brooksville. But it looked like, it looked incredible. The course itself, before we get back to the performance.
Oh, it was stunning. The course, the facility was absolutely phenomenal. And, I had talked to Coach and a couple of the players beforehand, and then afterwards, you know, Coach had told me, they had the back-to-back first place finishes in the fall and a couple top three in the spring, but he said, I don't think the guys have played their best golf yet. So after the round, I asked him, like, well, what do you think now? You know, Jake with that closing 64 on that last day, and he said he was, you know, pretty impressed and very happy to see that, and so happy for Jake, and he really saw the guys believe in themselves, and, you know, he was hoping that the guys would believe in themselves as much as he did. That was one of the things he told me, and he said he thought the guys really believed in each other, and it was a total group effort, and he was so happy to see it.
It sounds like you might not have been the only person he told, hey, you guys haven't played your best golf yet, because these guys looked motivated. They came into the last day tied with SMU and mm-hmm. blew it out, and Jake Peacock was able to win by a good bit. He could have been me on the last hole and still won by a few shots, which it means he was winning by a lot. So we'll find out where they're going to the NCAA tournament next week and continue to praise them as well. And again, speak with Erica Brennan of Women's Golf and probably a member of her team, as we'll be covering their selection show, and that's still going on. So golf was going on while that was happening. And by the way, you were able to walk around the course. Now, you're going to see this. This was before they won the championship, but
yes.
What did you get to experience with the guys?
Yeah, I talked to Jake, Sam, Cooper, and Brock before the tournament. Those are four great leaders on the team. And even Coach Bradley said he's had a lot of guys step up for them. And so the whole team, really, but those four specifically have been great leaders. And, just how their game has evolved, their favorite things about USF, the team camaraderie, how much they love it here. And it's a special group. It really is. So it was great to talk to them. I was out at the facility and walked a couple holes with them.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
So getting used to that in Scotland, by the way. So you'll see that.
True.
You have to hear those conversations. Now, again, while that was happening, baseball was playing this last week, and it's been a month since we had the show with baseball. In that month, they had a sweep of Wichita, which we'll get to with Billy Moll, on the other end of a sweep last weekend. But Jim, I know you call the games for TV. I do it for radio on Bulls Unlimited. A lot of promising stuff, and still a lot to be gained by this team, and still a lot of moving in the standings to be done.
Yeah, disappointing this weekend, but the important thing is The Bulls are still right in the middle of everything. It's a very jumbled up conference standings right now. South Florida tied for fourth at 7-8. They've got Florida Atlantic this weekend. The Owls are 7-8 as well. So chance to turn it around and go right back up the standings.
A team that we spoke to for the last Bullseye, we actually spoke to Peyton Dixon. Definitely want to mention what's happened actually the next day. I went there to call the game in Gainesville and witnessed one of the most exciting games any sport this year, pulled off Peyton Dixon complete game victory against the Florida Gators, the last victory for the Bulls against the Gator program since that College World Series team, and I know you were part of that back in 2012, and hopefully that can mean another trip to the College World Series. After that, they got a shutout by Belle Sargent. She was the pitcher of the week, shutting out Wichita, which is difficult to do, and then last weekend, Peyton Dixon, a complete game shutout, their win in East Carolina. So they've got FAU this weekend. We'll get you fully ready for a bunch of Owls that are flocking in to Tampa coming up in our final segment. But before then, we'll also speak with Joey Vellini. All he did was strike out 9 and 4 shutout innings of relief. It was fantastic. And as we mentioned, also a lot of men's golf coming your way.
Mayo up. Oh, he lines that ball deep to right field. The hits just keep on coming. Home run! USF lead.
You found the all-new South Florida Coaches Show on the radio. Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
And we are here with the head coach of the baseball team, Billy Mould. Derek Sharp here with Jim Lauck. Last time we talked, Coach, it was actually a month ago. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. As we know, baseball season can be long. Sometimes it can speed up, and we are speeding towards the finish. And I was trying to think back, you know, in the last month, we're not going to recap game by game, but if you start off with the Charlotte series, a couple things emerged in that series that became stories for your team. We'll talk about the complete game and how it carried on for Hunter Mayne. But we had a guy hit four home runs in five games starting with that weekend, Stuart Puckett. You also had Ben Rosenblum go from the guy that we were joking with last time about being a speedster to being another, you know, vaunted power hitter. So during the course of the season, I'm sure you enjoy when guys step up and become threats, and that was a couple of the ones that happened that weekend.
Yeah, over the last month, we've had a bunch of different things happen. So it's kind of been a little bit of a roller coaster. A lot of good things and some bad things. But we still got about a third of our season left, and looking forward to that.
You've had your share of injuries. That's something that happens every year. But one of the characteristics of this team, I think, is that you have a lot of guys that can play multiple positions. So you've had an opportunity to plug some guys in. They've really come through, a guy like Stuart Puckett. Going back to that Charlotte series, the other thing that stands out is you moved Joaquin Moncada to shortstop. Wasn't in the plans that way, but he looked pretty good out there.
Did not have that one on my bingo card this year. But, you know, Joaquin's done a great job for us at shortstop with, you know, Bozer and Snow being out. You know, when the ball hits his glove, it's going to be an out. And then Puckett's been a great surprise, very similar to what Betancourt was for us a year ago. Left-handed bat that comes in and gets big hits when we need him to.
I got to get more into the Joaquin Moncada because if you looked at him, you know, out of uniform, you'd say, oh, he's a catcher, maybe a first baseman. Of course, those are the positions he's played. How did you start to work him out at shortstop? When did that happen? Was it the day of the first game?
Charlotte. Wow. Charlotte's when it happened because Snow went down with a little back injury and wasn't feeling good. He had some stomach issues. And Joaquin was all we had because Bozer wasn't able to play yet. So that was the next man up mentality. And, I mean, really, Joaquin played a really good shortstop that weekend.
Well, you've had some great veteran performances. I think about Hunter Mink in that complete game. That's such a rarity in college baseball now. You just don't see a lot of complete games. He almost got two in a row the next series against Wichita State. Last time out, 10 strikeouts in his start. You need those veteran guys down the stretch to step up, and he's really done that.
Yeah, he's been really good. That stretch he had at Charlotte and Wichita went 17 innings for us, which is huge because we're a little thin in the bullpen with some injuries and stuff. So that was huge in terms of us getting wins. But, you know, he was good last week. You know, he had a little bump in the road against Tulane, but he's been much more consistent than he has previously in his career. And, you know, he's going to be a big part of how we finish, and need him to be the senior that he is and step up and kind of put the team on his back on Friday nights.
And he's been doing a great job of it. We will get more into that Wichita series because a lot happened in that. That's the things that can happen during a crazy baseball season, but also during series, usually, especially when teams are very closely competitive, which has been the case in all your series. You usually, I think, anyway, if you're going to win a series, have to have at least one, if not two guys, give you not necessarily an unexpected, but really a solid multi-inning appearance out of the pen. So what Chandler Dorsey did to back up the last game, the win at Tulane, was special. I want to talk about him a little bit because you've had some pretty good arms. I'm not a professional scout. He looks like a pro arm to me. Speak about Chandler.
Yeah, I mean, he is the one guy that you can point at and go, man, you're leaps and bounds better than what you were a year ago. Like, and I'm not talking about just on the field. I'm talking about off the field, what he's done in the classroom, what he's done as a person. He is taking that next step, and that's what you want to see. Still got a ways to go, but he could be that next future Bull, you know, in the big leagues if he keeps going about his business the right way. Definitely got the stuff to do it, still working on our command and stuff like that, but that outing he had against Tulane was huge. You know, backs against the wall, you know, looking to get swept, and Dorsey put us on his back, and the rest is history.
3 1/3 hitless, I believe, definitely scoreless, but I want to ask about a specific part of his game. You know, last year it was lead with the heater, mix in the off-speed. When do you recognize that off-speed, that secondary pitch, can become just as effective, and how do you go about working on it? Because clearly for him, it's not just an afterthought.
Yeah, his breaking ball is the pitch that hitters don't see well. And we started using that at a much higher percentage than what we did his fastball. His fastball got hit around quite a bit last year. His fastball is more effective now because of just the way we're using his arsenal. So he's got a plus breaking ball. It's very similar to Kirkering. Kirkering's breaking ball.
It's pretty good.
And, you know, he keeps doing this, and I'm excited to see where he goes. Continues to grow as a baseball player.
Awesome.
It's been interesting to watch you use Joey Vellini in the past couple weeks. You gave him a start midweek to getting a couple of innings. This past weekend, 9 strikeout performance out of the bullpen, more than 50 pitches. Coming off the Tommy John surgery, is every guy different when you try to bring them back from that, or is there kind of a standard that you kind of bring along a guy after he's experienced that?
Yeah, Joey obviously came back from Tommy John. He's been healthy, but we were dealing with a shoulder issue for, you know, a few weeks. That's why he didn't get a whole lot of action. So I've been trying to stretch him out to get him to where we could put him in a starter spot. You know, we got him up to about 60, 65 pitches the other day when he pitched. So, yeah, I mean, there's a good chance you guys see him coming, you know, into the rotation this weekend.
The way it's set up for you guys last weekend against Rice, I actually talked to their radio guy, said, I wouldn't be surprised if between Gailey and Dorsey, you know, you might just see one guy. I didn't figure it would be Joey Vellini going for just a huge performance, and that's like I was talking about, what you need. Another thing that's developed over the last few weeks is the realization that when you have a full lineup, and let's cross our fingers, as far as health goes, that you have that from a batting perspective, you know, at the end of the season. So has that led to more difficult situations for you as far as the lineup goes? Also, I've noticed maybe more pinch hitting earlier in games than normal.
Yeah, I mean, when you got guys that can hit, you know, I think we're about a little over 300 in conference play hitting, those decisions become tougher when guys start becoming healthier because, you know, then you start favoring kind of the matchups. You try to play the matchups. You know, like we pinch hit with Puckett the other day for Buffington because Puckett's been really good against right-handed pitchers. So that's a good problem to have. You know, it's interesting, the dynamic of it. You know, the guy's got to be bought into it and guys got to roll with it. You know, and you got to put your personal feelings aside and go do what's best for the team.
Nice.
Well, we've talked before about the emphasis this year on getting bunts down, stealing bases, sacrifices. You look at the stolen bases now, you're almost to the point of doubling up last year's number of stolen bases with a lot of this season left. That seems to have been a really successful transition this year.
Yeah, we've done a good job. You know, we've done a good job of stealing bases, getting bunts down when we need to. I mean, the bunt against Wichita was a huge one to win a game. You know, that's what we are. The one thing that we need to do a better job of is once we get those runners moved into that position is getting them in. That's kind of been our bugaboo as of late, being able to drive runners in scoring position. But in terms of the way the offense is being run, we're getting our hits, we're getting all that. We just need some big hits to come to follow with it.
Well, let's talk about that bunt a little bit more because we said a lot of stuff happened in the Wichita series. You guys got the great start from Hunter Mink, and then it went on from there. And then it looked like, okay, just not work it out in the final game. And then you rally with two in the ninth. And then in the 10th, a bases loaded bunt is not what you normally see. Take us through to the decision. I know there were some extenuating circumstances, and it was a thrilling moment.
Well, the way I looked at it was that was Bobby Bozer's spot coming up, and he couldn't hit yet. He wasn't cleared to hit yet, so we had to go with Cole Robertson off the bench. There was no outs at that point.
Right.
So worst case scenario, we bunt into an out with a force play at home, and we still got bases loaded, one out. At that point, it was my decision to roll the dice. I've always said scared money doesn't make money. And Cole is a guy who will put his nose in front of a baseball to get something done.
Yes, he will.
And gave him the suicide, and he executed.
Been a while since he's gotten a hit midweek a couple weeks back. Puts it down, a bump, and there's the force, and it's going to work out because it was a suicide squeeze, and the game is over! The old bases loaded walk-off bunt to perfection by Cole Robertson.
You know, at that point, we couldn't let the game go on any longer because our bullpen was already thinned out, and that was our chance to end it, and we took it.
Because it was one of the more memorable moments, I want to make sure that everybody that remembers it is clear on one thing. You gave him one swing, though, right?
I told him, first you get one swing, first pitch, and then we're going straight to suicide.
So that whole look back towards the bench after the first pitch was just an act. You knew what was coming.
Yep.
All right, good.
This past weekend, Coach, you got Bobby Bozer back. I know he got dinged up a little bit in the Sunday game, but what does it mean to have him back in the everyday lineup?
Yeah, it's great. You obviously want your all-conference players in the lineup. You know, he was all-conference last year. He's one of our best players. You know, obviously he's got to shake some rust off and get back to him. I mean, when you miss that extended amount of time, it's going to take some time to get your feet wet and get comfortable again. You know, but like I said, in the meantime, we've had other guys step up and handle what he wasn't able to bring to us. So we're looking forward to him getting fully healthy and, you know, see how he can help us take off.
Well, let's look forward to this weekend because despite getting swept last weekend, you're still just a game out of third place. There's a big group right there with you in fourth place. And, oh, by the way, one of them is FAU, who you host. And the two teams that are in first, tied for first, follow that up. So an opportunity to begin with this weekend, correct?
Yeah, as bad as this past weekend was, everything that we want in front of us is still there. So, you know, it's time to, you know, I gave you guys the past 2 days off to just kind of clear their heads with no midweek game. This kind of came at the right time to let guys go clear their head and get back to, you know, being who we are. You know, playing as a team, playing as one. I think the frustrations over the weekend, it was time to hit the reset button and get these guys refocused.
A lot to go on this weekend aside from a very important series. It's Alumni Day. This program has such a storied baseball history when you look at the guys that have made it to the major league level and even ones that have had outstanding minor league careers. A lot of fascinating names, and a lot of them are going to be at the ballpark this weekend.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Obviously, there's a lot of people who paved the way for our current team to be able to have the amenities and everything that they have. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys. Got the first base pavilion for them, got some food for them, and
yes.
I'm hoping to hear some good old stories of whether it's about Coach Prado or Coach Cartieri, Coach Roberts, all the ones who've come before all of us. So looking forward to having them back on campus.
Now that's the Saturday game, that's at 2:00. And I gotta ask you one personal question, Jim. You're so good about putting out on social media whenever a former Bull does something, gets called up, major league debut, or is Billy feeding you that, or do you just remember all these guys?
No, I like looking at those transactions lists and see who's doing well. We got a couple in the majors right now and a couple more knocking on the door at Triple A and hoping Shane McClanahan gets healthy soon and he'll be back in the mix too.
No doubt.
And then Sunday, of course, is a very important day. Remember, this is the next to last home series, and it's going to be the Cut for the Cure Day, and I know it's something very personal to you and very special as far as the chance to have all of that come together.
Yeah, it's always a big day for me. I think the guys have rallied around it. I mean, this will be our 10th consecutive year since I've been here doing it.
Wow.
You know, so it's something we all look forward to. Everybody that's on our team or our staff or in our building has felt the effects of cancer some shape or form in their life. And this is a day just to, you know, kind of reflect on that and to help in terms of raising some money for some research.
And I'm sorry, Derek. That's one of the things that stands out to me when we watch that event unfold at the end of the Sunday game every year, is that the players really enjoy it. It's something that, you know, they feel is a great cause. It's something they're glad to take part in. They really have a lot of buy-in on it.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. You know, obviously losing Alexis Buckman this year, who I was very close with and a lot of our guys were close with, just being friends with the softball team. This year, kind of, it's 10 straight years of doing it. You got, you know, celebrating the life of Alexis Buckman and doing it for the right reasons.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, as we start to wrap it up, and you're going to see something that Kaylee did as far as last year's event, just to get you even more information on it. But the players do enjoy it. You said you gave them a couple days off to get their minds off things, and they were having a good time, along with everybody from every sport, at the event on Monday night, the Sand Fever Champions. But I could not help but notice, outside of they are great dressers, and some better than other. Betancourt, Mayo, you guys were rocking it. Even some of the younger kids at their first opportunity. But some of them really do need a haircut so badly. And I just got to ask you, do you know if Matt Rose has ever had one?
I didn't even think about that one, but I don't know. Like, that thing needs to go.
It's got
to
go.
Yeah, it needs to go. He looks like a troll.
That's Billy Moll, the head coach of Matt Rose. And by the way, the Minx, they can use some tightening up too.
Yep, there's no doubt. We got a bunch of guys that could use some tightening up.
So that's all going to happen. And if people are people encouraged to not just donate money, but maybe stick around just to see the before and after? I mean,
yeah, I mean, everybody's welcome to come out. You know, it usually turns into an hour and a half, 2 hour deal sometimes, depending on, you know, we've had other family members come in and shave their heads as well. So
it's
a great day. Everybody's invited. We really look forward to it.
Well, best of luck with all of that in this weekend. And thanks for the time, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
And there's Vellini breaking out the curveball. That is three strikeouts in a row. Joey Vellini continues to rankle the Owls. That is another strikeout. He has K'd seven. What a performance. He has set down 10 in a row.
You're listening to Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
So great to see what's going to happen this Sunday as far as Cutbury Cure, and a guy that, I'm going to say, respectable hair for sure. I don't know if you saw what Billy Moll said about certain members of the team, like Matt Rose, maybe having a little too much hair.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to that situation before we get into the baseball part of things?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. It's just a good thing that we do with the team.
Yes, sir.
And I think it earns a lot of respect for us when we do that. It shows a lot of respect.
It's great stuff. And yeah. Then that's going to be this Sunday. On the past Sunday, let's just start with most recent history with you. It's been a build up to that. We'll get into the whole Tommy John and all that. But you had a start, and then you might have earned yourself a start with what you did on Sunday. I know when you come into a game out of the pen, you're not thinking, you know, let me go four innings. How did that play out in your mind?
I mean, I came in a tough situation, and unfortunately I let a couple hits up, but I stuck to the plan, executed all my pitches after that, and I was feeling good, so coach let me go.
When it's going like that, do you actually have to say anything to anybody, maybe the head coach, about, hey, you know, I can give you as much as you need, because it seemed like that was clearly going to be a career-high type, you know, four innings for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I come in the dugout and Mole says you're done, then you're done. But if he doesn't look at you, then it's like, okay, I'm going out for another one. And he never said anything throughout the whole game, so.
I'm always curious because, like, I'm up there in the broadcast booth, and I'm thinking, you know, this guy better get a big ovation when you were pulled out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like you gave it a look like, you know, I could go more if I had to. What's it like when you know you've done your job and yet you're being pulled from the game?
On Sunday, I knew what the situation was like, and Dorsey's a really good arm.
Of course.
And it was probably just a matchup thing, and I haven't gone over 60 pitches. And so I knew I was upset because I was feeling good, but at the same time, we needed to win the game.
So 60 pitches at USF. I'm guessing you went over that at Jesuit. What was your role there with the Tigers as far as high school went?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't pitch much.
Okay.
I did have a start.
Well, what it looks like now is you can go as long as you have to. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, obviously when people watch you pitch, the curveball stands out.
Yeah.
And you're getting it into the low 90s, mid 90s sometimes when it comes to the fastball. That's just not my magic, because you had an injury. Tell people about what happened after year one, and then how you've been able to work your way to where you are now.
Year one was pretty good, just learning my role in the bullpen. And then, unfortunately, Labor Day my sophomore year, tore my UCL. Mm. And then coming back this year, just doing a lot of rehab with Brandon Lee, our trainer. He's been really good to me. and we've been working hard, and I'm feeling really good, and all my pitches have seemed to get a little better, throwing a little harder.
I agree with that. Brandon, talk more about him, because you need some help, and sometimes not just the physical part, right?
Right. Yeah, Brandon's got a lot on his plate, and especially this season. But no, it was good to work with him one-on-one throughout the rehab process, and he was there every step of the way. So,
was there a time when you felt, and just take me through it, when you felt like the velo was there? I know you want to get back on the mound as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Was there a time?
So I would say around month like 7 or 8, that's when you start throwing in the short boxes and the flat grounds, and you start working into bullpens. And before that, I was always feeling good with rehab and throwing, and I thought I could just get up there and just throw it as hard as I can. But you got to trust the process, and you just got to listen to what he says, and he'll get you in the right spot.
All right, so month 7 or 8, you glossed over that.
Yeah.
To me, that would seem to be like, oh, there's some times in between where you're thinking, when is it ever going to end? Did you reach those times? Because it looks like, you know, you went through it as well as you could.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, those first few months are tough. Those months are tough because, I mean, I want to be out here able to help our team win as much as possible, and just sitting on the bench kind of sucks. But I just had to stay focused with rehab.
So let me talk about this season, because there's been a couple of special moments. I think back to the Wichita State situation. I was never going to ask Coach Mull about this, but they start pumping up, that song.
The famous Pump It Up music.
And everybody, they had already won the first two games, but it looked like, you know, down and out kind of thing. And it seemed like there was this, like, energy. Take me through what it's like down there when you sense that things are going to turn around, because they definitely did in that game.
Yeah, so our strength coach actually came into the dugout, and he screamed at us.
I believe
about
it.
How there was no energy. And in that ninth inning, he came in, he screamed, and everybody was all, we were just ready. I knew at that moment, when B-Rob yelled at us, we were never going to lose that game. And then they just, the song just to add on to it.
Crank that music. Get it going.
All right, but being fair, Ben Roberts, the strength coach of all strength coaches, is that song now, like, in your head in a good thing, or in your head as a, okay, yeah, it worked one time?
I mean, they tried to do it last week. It didn't work so well, but it'll get us going.
Yeah, let me ask you, if you had a certain type of music that can get you going, what do you listen to if you do before game, after game, what do you do?
I like rock music, personally.
Okay, let me guess. Metallica.
No, Led Zeppelin.
Okay, well, you know what? Same page.
Yeah.
Same page. All right, so looking at the rest of the season right now, because the Bulls, you know, we know what happened last weekend, but I saw what happened in practice today, and it looked like there was a renewed energy.
Yeah.
Take us through, like, the mental part of going through a season where you're going to have your ups and downs.
Well, we know right now we're in fourth place in our conference. We're in a good spot, and with, you know, we got two of the best teams that we're facing in the next couple weeks, and ECU is going to be a challenge, UTSA is going to be a challenge, but I think if the pitchers are doing their job and the hitters are doing theirs, then I think we're going to be in a really good spot.
And just to get more specific on you as one of the pitchers, because of the fact that you've really developed both your pitches and your whole arsenal, looks like you're changing speeds a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're doing your job, what role do you think specifically you can lend to the team?
To me personally, it doesn't matter whether or not I start or, like, come in to close a game or middle reliever. It doesn't matter. I just want to go out there and execute.
You've been doing it so far. Let me talk about other guys on the team, whether it's a pitcher or not. Who is, like, the energy guy in the dugout, if there is one or two?
Corbin Little.
Really?
Without a doubt.
First time we've mentioned his name on the show. Tell me more about him.
Corbin's always there to pick us up. He's always screaming, shouting, yelling. He's doing everything.
Now we know who the voice is, Corbin Little.
Corbin.
What about, like, the Ben Rosenblum, like, if you're talking about, like, breaking things down scientifically, who's, like, the sense of humor? Maybe, like, the going to crack a joke if they need to?
I mean, I want to go back to Corbin.
Really?
Corbin does it all.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Corbin's funny, and he keeps us all motivated.
And last thing, I saw you a few times, not just the other day, but, you know, go flashing back to your freshman season where you were, you know, like, jumping off the mound practically. Mm-hmm. And there's that motivation factor. And you can see that you're a guy that can pump guys up, not back to the Pump It Up song. But is there anybody else?
I mean, I try. Tanner Mink, he tries to get us going.
All right.
Depending on who's not hot and down in the bullpen, all the pitchers will try and keep us all going.
I got to ask you about the bullpen situation as we're starting to wrap it up here with Joey. It seems like there can be times when you're just out there. You know, as a broadcaster, like, hey, who's warming up? Do you really need much time to warm up? What's going on out there?
I mean, well, you never know when you're going to go in.
Okay.
So if you're hot for that day, if you're available,
hot,
you're just waiting for your turn, basically. But like we throw before the game and we're just chilling in the bullpen until our name is called and then we just start throwing immediately.
So you admit you're just chilling and then when you get out here and throw like whatever it is, 7 or 8 pitches, that's when you actually warm up.
That's when you're fully locked in.
Whatever you did, pass it along to everybody else.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joey.
Thank you so much.
Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
That's Joey Vellini. We'll get into golf. By the way, my man, you're a golfer, right?
Big golfer.
Oh, well, hold on. We're not going to let you escape with that.
Okay. I mean, I play as much as I can. On my off days, I get out there.
But the golf team we're about to transition to just won the conference championship. Are you saying that you could hang with them?
No chance.
Okay, good.
But I would do my best.
Man of many talents, obviously.
Yeah.
We'll be back with the official golfers next.
What are some key characteristics of this team that stand out to you that really define this group?
We're all pretty close, I would say. We all try to give each other a hard time and still get along, which makes it a lot easier. Everyone can kind of needle each other, and it makes us all a little more close, I would say.
This group, we're all on the same page. We all believe in each other, and we're there for each other. And I think that's pretty rare in college golf in general, so I'm pretty lucky for that.
The team camaraderie, the chemistry we have with this program, it's like a second family to me. And so everyone really comes together nicely, and we've been feeding off each other's energy all year. And I think that's led to some good golf this year.
I think everyone's pretty hardworking, very motivated. We all have each other's backed. You know, when it's rooting against each other, obviously it's an individual sport, so we want to beat each other, but we're still happy for each other if we play well and stuff.
And as a senior, what would you say the best part about playing at USF is?
Oh, it's been so long. I think just the people it's brought me around. We have such a great staff from our trainers to the coaches and everyone else, but he just plays so good and just supports us that it's been an awesome experience. And then, you know, just the guys on the team meeting some of my best friends that I wouldn't have had without this place.
Steve and Brad are the best coaches I could ever ask for, and they've helped me tremendously with my game ever since I transferred here. And, you know, I definitely, if I went elsewhere, I don't think I'd be the player I am today.
Look, this is my third senior year. The best part about USF, I would say, we go to a lot of cool places. We went to Vegas, we've gone to California, we've gone to Chicago. I mean, before I even got here, the farthest west I've even gone to play golf has been Mississippi. So this has kind of been a blessing to travel as much as we do.
We play some awesome golf courses, we play some awesome golf tournaments. And just have a great group of guys that feed off each other and try to make each other better.
Well, that was all fun. And again, both golf teams will be playing in the NCAA tournament. We'll have some women's golf coverage as part of next week's show, along with softball. So I think just Temple and SMU are the only teams in the conference that don't play baseball or softball. I'm going somewhere with this because we've never had baseball or softball against the Owls. Now it's going to be all you see.
You can't avoid them.
Baseball played Rice last weekend, and this weekend you're going to have probably some people from Boca Raton because both baseball teams and softball teams, doubleheaders all 3 days. It's an important one, as we alluded to before, and I know that Billy Moll thinks that this is a big opportunity for them.
Yeah, really critical series. Keep in mind, too, we're not that far away from the conference tournament. With more teams in the league now, the days of everybody qualifying for the tournament are over. There are going to be a couple of teams that don't get the call to get to Clearwater. So very, very important, this three-game series for South Florida against Florida Atlantic.
We'll be actually doing doubleheaders all 3 days on the radio side. And this is actually the last chance to see the softball team at home this weekend. So we got baseball and softball doubleheaders Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll talk to Ken Erickson and one of his individuals about it next week. And then we'll get you fully set for everything that's to come, I guess, because that'll be the last bullseye for all of my co-hosts and all of our guests. Thanks for tuning in this week. Keep those horns up.